So today I'd like to open up, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And I wanted to share on the subject of good works. Something we do a lot of, but don't really get into God's Word showing them that much, but good works. And in Matthew chapter 5, this is Jesus Christ. This is when he was doing what is called the Sermon on the Mount. And in verse 14, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." And then verse 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." To let our light so shine that the people see our good works. The word good basically in the Bible means beautiful or handsome or choice or excellent in nature. And works basically are acts or deeds, things done, labors, doings. And a great truth concerning works is that works are from what we are. Who we are, they're generated by our very nature and our beliefs, our convictions, and our desires. It's something that's from within us, that we, as we do things, it's because of what we believe or what we have a conviction to do, and these works are generated by that. Now let's go to Gospel of John, chapter 10. And God's interested in us doing good works. There are evil works that are done on earth as well, but God's interested in us doing good works. But you can't do good works if you don't have good in you. It's just not even available, so to speak. Chapter 10, verse 32 says, "Jesus answered them, 'Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?'" The verse before that, these religious leaders were going to try to stone Jesus. They picked up their stones. They're about to toss them. And he tells them, he asks them that question, "You know, many of these good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me?" You know, what am I going to get killed for? But the works were generated from his Father. That's where the source of these, the goodness of these works came from. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Good works are a result of the goodness of God, really. And Ruth did a wonderful job teaching on the goodness of God, what we have, what by God's goodness, what he has given us and done for us and made us in Christ Jesus. Matthew chapter 7, and in verse 17, it says, "Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them." So, like for instance, an apple tree, we see apples on the tree, we know it's an apple tree. You see figs on a tree, you know it's a fig tree. But a tree is known by their fruits. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. So good fruit is a result of the tree being good, and evil fruit is a result of the tree being evil. So as we're charged to do good works, it's available for us because we have good things in us. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, this is about Jesus Christ. 10:38. "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So he went about doing good. And the reason he could do that is that God was the one that anointed him with Holy Spirit and with power. And God was working with him as he's doing these things. So the good works that Jesus Christ did was a result of his Father and the things that God, as his Father, gave him. Let's go to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Timothy, Titus. And in verse 16, this is talking about people who are defiled, they're impure. The end of verse 15 says, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. And then verse 16, for they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Unto every good work they're reprobate. And it's because of what's in them, or what's not in them. The word reprobate of good works could also be translated as unfit for any good work. Just not even fit for it. Just not available. That's not where we want to be, but there are a lot of people on this earth that are like that. Titus chapter 2, verse 7 says, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. So we're to show ourselves a pattern of good works. The ESV version, translated, I thought it was a great translation. It says, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching, show integrity, dignity. So in all respects, we're to show ourselves as a model of good works. And in Titus chapter 3, verse 14, says, and let ours also learn and maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Or to God's exhortation to us, and what God wanted the leaders in that area was to help people to maintain good works that they were doing. It's interesting. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. We have so much ability to do good works because of what we have inside of us. God's our Father. His divine nature is in us. His goodness is in us, which is part of who what God is. He displays goodness. Ruth did a wonderful job showing how good God is and what God has deposited in our lives because of the gift of Holy Spirit. You know, the divine nature, the manifestations, the goodness of God, the love of God. We've got a lot of in us that makes it available for us to be able to do good works. So chapter 3, and we're going to pick it up in verse 16. These are just incredible verses here. That he, God, would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by believing, that Christ may dwell in our hearts. That's an incredible thing, that we have Christ dwelling in our hearts, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And look at verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Just a mind blower to think that we have the fullness of God. It's just, I don't know, God inhabits eternity. He created the heavens and the earth. and all the things in it. And we're filled with the fullness of God. And we have, we know of that love of Christ. That's incredible stuff when you think about it. How big that is. How much we have in us. Colossians chapter 1. Very popular verse of scripture. Colossians chapter 1. It's no wonder that the devil doesn't like God's people. Look what their capabilities are. Filled with the fullness of God. They understand the love of Christ. That's a dangerous thing to the devil. He would love to silence us, love to keep us from living the greatness of God's word. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Each one of us has Christ in us. Each one of us. That's something that we can utilize in our living of life. And in just the things that we do, manifesting in terms of like good works, doing things, doing deeds that have that are inspired by God Almighty. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. You know, I remember being, when I was in high school, in the early 70s, it wasn't cool or socially accepted to be a goody-goody. You were a goody-goody, you know, you're looked at like, yeah, that person's just a goody-goody. Like, as if the person's really not with it. But in actuality, a goody-goody is a really wonderful thing to be. Which would we want to be around? A good person or a evil person? You know, pretty obvious. We would rather be with a good person. So here we go. 1 John chapter 3. An incredibly wonderful verse again. Verse 1 says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. God loves us, and it's incredible to think that God would want to love us, and does love us, and called us out to be his children. I mean, we are very, 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 very privileged people, and he has done so much for us. Incredible. It's just incredible. So, with a love that's that big, that he loves us despite our own stupidity at times, our own selfishness at times, our own stubbornness at times, or lack of insight, or lack of desire, or lack of strength, he still loves us. It's incredible. And still stands up for us. So when our eyes start to open up to the greatness of God's love for us, the greatness of the love of Christ, and the things that Jesus Christ did for us, when our eyes start to understand and see that, we do begin to have an appreciation, more appreciation for God. I mean, there are a lot of people who walk around that we know, you know, just general people that we come across that have no thankfulness for God and what God has done for them. they're oblivious. Their eyes are closed to what the greatness of God's love is for them. But as our eyes open up, a true response to that love would be to want to love God back, to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And which he does command us to do it, but that's really the logical response to such great love. And in 1 John 4:19, it says just that. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. We didn't love God, and then he says, oh, Allie loves me. I'm going to start taking care of her. he didn't work it that way. He loved us when we were unlovable, when we were stinkers. And as we started to realize that, we started loving him back. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. And he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. And this is where good works come in. Good works are an extension of what we have inside us. It's an extension of our recognizing the great love that God has for us, the great love that Jesus Christ has for God and had for God's people, that he would go through what he went through and die. And, you know, when he was in the hands of those unbelievers and they were beating the heck out of him, he felt every whip, he felt every blow banging on his head, and he felt the spit that was put on his face. He heard the horrible words that they said to him, and he kept doing it because that's what God wanted him to do and because he loved. So it's just an incredible thing. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The good works come in for a desire to love God. And when we love God, because of what his word says, he wants us to direct our love and help to people, not just believers, but all people. If it's just believers, there's going to be a limited supply of believers, because if you never talk to people that aren't born again, don't try to help them and bless them, they may never hear the word. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 14 concerning Jesus Christ. It says, for the love of Christ constrains us. And we've been taught the word constraining. It's an Eastern custom that you would be asked most of the time three times. Like if somebody invited you for dinner, and then you would by culture you would say no. Even if you're starving, you would say no. I'm not. Can't do it. Come up with some excuse, and they ask you again. And then you come up with another excuse, and they ask you a third time, and then you finally give in and say, okay, I'll do it. It's just a constraint. We do that with ourselves at times. We do that with others, where we're constraining. We're just asking for us to be able to help somebody or them to help us. And it says, for the love of Christ constrains us. That love that Christ has and had for us is a constraining thing on our hearts if we got our eyes open to it. If we allow God to work in our heart, it's a constraining thing. Because we thus judge, we come to the conclusion, that if one died for all, and that would be Jesus Christ, he's the one that died for all, then all were dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. We're not to live for ourselves. We take care of, you know, our daily things that we need to do, but our living isn't to be unto ourselves. It says in other scriptures, we've been bought with a price, and we're to serve. Because we've been bought with a great price, and the price is the Lord Jesus Christ. We used to please ourselves before we got born again, and sometimes we still do. But God's heart and God's desire is that we aren't to please ourselves anymore, but to serve. So let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. When we do for others what God's word teaches, and it's called good works. They're to be done with the love of God in our heart as the motivation, as the desire, and it's to be many times by God's direction. God helps us to do this stuff. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, for it is God which worketh in you, both the will and to do of His good pleasure. Wow. And that's always a stunning thing in my mind to acknowledge and recognize that God is actually working in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. So we don't do these good works out of obligation or out of praise to of men, like, I'm going to do this and then people will pat me on the back. It's not to be that way. It's because God loved us and we want to respond to His love and thanksgiving and thankfulness for what He's done for us. And then whatever it is that we do, God is working within us to will and to do of His good pleasure. He is helping us to do good works. He absolutely is. Acts chapter 4. We are who we are because of what God has made us in Christ Jesus. The old us is the old man nature has been overcome by the new man nature. We still have the old man nature living in our bodies, but it doesn't have to rule. It doesn't have to dictate. It doesn't have to be the thing that our works are generated from. Our works can be generated from the Spirit of God in us, the divine nature. Acts chapter, I said 4, we're going to go there next. We're going to go to Acts chapter 10 first, sorry. Acts chapter 10. So it's God in Christ in us, working to will and to do of His good pleasure. Let's see this in this verse in light of that. Chapter 10, verse 38, we read it before. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You know, God was working with the Lord Jesus Christ to do things. Most of what we read in the four Gospels of Jesus Christ doing was speaking God's word and healing people. But He did a lot of other things. He just, that's many of the records we hear, but like the woman that was caught in adultery, and at the end, you know, He had covered for her, and He charged her at the end, you know, to go and sin no more, you know, that her life was forgiven. Can you imagine her heart when she was there and everybody had used her to try to get to Jesus Christ, and He spoke to her and looked at her and said, you know, your sins are forgiven. What happened to her heart inside? Must have been amazing. His life, when He touched people physically or just in, you know, figuratively, what did that do for their hearts? Incredible. And we have the same ability. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. This is early church believers shortly after Pentecost. And they're really speaking God's word and doing great things. And there was this, they had tried to put Peter in jail, Peter and John, and they get back together and pray as a group of believers. And part of their prayer, in verse 29, says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child." These people were endeavoring to reach forth with the greatness of God's word, the love of God that was in their heart, to help people. And really what it is good works. What it really is. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Good works are good. But they only truly come from people who have good in them. Like the good tree only produces good fruit, the evil tree can only produce evil fruit. It's really amazing. So whatever it is that we do, whether it's making a cup of coffee for somebody, or talking to them on the phone, or working together with them, or getting them something, or ministering healing, holding hands, hugging, you know, there's just so many different things. There's not a list per se, one list that covers all the good works that we find out what they are. It's God working in us, and whatever it is that we're doing for God and for people in those circumstances, they're good works. It's just a wonderful thing. We're to be like a ray of sunshine to people. our lives are to be a ray of sunshine. It's always nice when it's cold out and all of a sudden the sun comes out and it feels so good. Or it's been cloudy for a while and all of a sudden the sun comes out. It feels good. It just feels good. So we're to be like that for people. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We are to provoke one another, inspire one another, prick one another, so to speak, unto good works and to love. You know, we help one another to walk God's word. We provoke one another. It's always a good thing to look at our own lives and say, am I really doing anything with God and His Word? am I really walking what God wants me to walk? Am I really walking in the greatness of what God has given me and called me? Am I at my best for Him? And it's always good to take an honest look. And sometimes we do that with one another. We challenge one another with things. You know, maybe we aren't being our best. Maybe we're lazy, or maybe we're hard-hearted, or maybe we won't forgive, or whatever. I know believers that won't talk to other believers, they won't forgive them. Well, until you get past that, you're going to have a hard time doing good works unto them. You know, you won't forgive them. You're never going to, God won't be able to work too well in your heart for helping that person, blessing that person. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. You learn the territory. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. And this is a wonderful thing to realize. And as I said earlier, we never do things for praise of men, because people will fail in that praise, for one, so you'll get disappointed. But here's a great truth to recognize about God. It says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. God is the one who's keeping the count, so to speak. If a person recognizes it, great. If they don't recognize it, no big deal. We do it for God. And we do it because we love God, and we genuinely love people. But if it wasn't for what God's done for us, we wouldn't have much desire. And lastly, we're going to Hebrews chapter 13. So God always will remember the things that we've done to minister His word. And we're going to get rewarded for Him when we go, when heaven starts at the Bema. We're going to get rewarded for all those things that we did that were accurate according to God's word. And this verse really sums it up, I think, for what I'm sharing. Chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. It says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect or equipped in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It's just a wonderful verse showing about good works and the desire that God wants us to be fully equipped to be able to do those things. And what a privilege it is to be able that our lives can affect others in such a great way. What a great way. And then the charge for Jesus Christ, the exhortation, you know, let your light shine so that the world can see your good works. Don't hide them. So let the world see the Christ in us by the things we do for people. And, you know, sometimes just standing next to somebody, you know, they're talking, you can just be speaking in tongues for them. You know, what does that do? It's incredible, you know, the things we do for one another. So we sure have a great privilege to be able to do this with one another and to wherever we go, whatever we're doing. People do get blessed. And, you know, sometimes there are people that we see once in a lifetime. We have 5 minutes to do something to bless them. And, you know, they may never see us again. But for that moment, it blesses them. And we do what God wanted to have done in that 5 minutes with that person. So you just never know what our lives do for others. So it's great. It's really wonderful. Nice to be together. And it's nice to be able to serve one another. But beyond that, you know, it talks about in Galatians 6:10, you know, we were to bless the world, not just, you know, we're supposed to be especially good to the brethren, but we're supposed to be good to people, you know, not just the believers. So it's just a great thing. And so my exhortation is just to continue to grow in good works as God exhorts us, and to look at our lives and just, in a good way, continue to exhort ourselves to walk for God, doing His word.